Welcome to Verity Wealth Report with Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Verity Wealth Report is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Verity Wealth Report.
Hello and welcome to the Verity Wealth Report. My name is Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. And while at my website, click on the podcast page to check out our past shows and to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Now, when it comes to building wealth, the risk isn't just unavoidable, it's essential. Without it, your money can't grow, but too much risk can derail your entire financial future. So the art lies in finding the balance, identifying where risk lives inside your financial strategy, and taking steps to manage it before it manages you. So today we're going to talk a lot about risks and how it affects your retirement plans. And in a year marked by soaring inflation, stubborn interest rates, volatile markets, and global uncertainty, reassessing your portfolio's risks has never been more important. Today, we're breaking down 10 key considerations that can help you approach risk with clarity and confidence so that you can increase your chances of long-term success. But before we dive in, let me bring in my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who's been testing her own tolerance for risk by starting to plan for a wedding and then realizing budgeting for flowers might require a second mortgage. If that's not high-stake investing, I don't know what is.
Way to just call me out, Stephen. Come on. No, I completely agree with you. I think you're taking a risk on this man, right? And there's not much more to say on that topic. I'm not looking forward to the cost of everything, but yes, wedding planning is very, very overwhelming. So how are you today, though?
Oh, yep. I'm excited. I'm doing great. Battled a kind of a severe cold last week, but back at it and pretty excited for the week.
Are you getting that energy back? You know, when you're sick and you're down, and then the next day or when you start to feel better, you're on like a high, right?
Yeah. It definitely was a bummer. It's like a roller coaster, but it's always good to be rid of some of that stuff that gets into your body and holds you down. But
yes,
here we are. Yep.
Mentally, physically, all of it. I totally get it. Well, Stephen, I'm excited to unpack this today. So where are we going to start?
So the first thing I'll always start with talking about risk is what we call risk tolerance. Really what that means is how comfortable are you personally with the ups and the downs of the stock market, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so today we're going to be referencing an article from Kiplinger with the headline 10 Strategies for Managing Financial Risk in Market Downturns. So, Stephen, it's less about numbers on a spreadsheet and more about, can I actually sleep at night if my account dips?
Exactly. But here's the thing. Markets go up and they go down. That's just reality. If someone can't stomach seeing their portfolio drop during a market downturn, there's a real risk they're going to panic, right? And when people panic, they often make rash decisions like pulling out their money at the worst possible time. And that can actually have devastating long-term effects.
I've seen that happen with friends, Stephen. They watch the headlines, the market dips, and suddenly they're like, I'm out. Even though they might have been fine if they just stayed in.
Right. And that's where a thoughtful conversation up front can make all the difference. I encourage clients to spend real time defining their comfort level with market fluctuations. We don't just talk in percentages. We actually, like, for example, you can't just say your account might drop 10%, which doesn't mean much until you actually put it in dollar terms.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like 10% doesn't feel like anything until you realize, wait, that's $50,000 just disappearing on paper.
Yep. When you put real numbers in front of someone, suddenly it gets real. That's what we want, because once you know your true comfort zone, you can build a strategy that keeps you invested for the long term and without the panic button getting pushed when things get bumpy.
Yeah, that means step one is kind of like a gut check, you know? Know yourself, know what kind of market swings you, you know, that you can handle, and be honest about it.
Yeah, risk tolerance is foundational. It's really where we build from. Now, the next piece of the puzzle is something called risk capacity. While it sounds kind of similar to tolerance, it's actually very different.
Okay, Steven. So tolerance is about how much risk you can stomach emotionally. It's about asking how much risk you can actually afford to take.
That's right. Someone might feel comfortable taking big risks, but if their actual situation doesn't give them the cushion to do it, being aggressive could actually backfire in a very big way.
So then the difference between I want to get big versus should I really be betting big with the money I have?
Exactly. Imagine a retiree with a modest nest egg. Even if they say, I'm okay with volatility, bring on the risk. It may be unwise to put everything into equities or illiquid real estate. If the market turns against them, they don't have the time or resources to rebuild.
Got it. Because once you've retired or you're not adding new money, you're drawing down. There's no reset button if things can go wrong.
That's right. If you're drawing down, it's a game changer. Now, flip the scenario. A young professional, say, with a strong income or decades ahead of them and even a healthy emergency fund, that person can potentially afford to take more strategic risks, because they may have the time and the cash flow to ride out the downturns, and they don't have to draw down from their portfolios.
Capacity is the math behind the feeling, Stephen.
It's a good way to put it. It's about your time horizon, right? Your earning potential, and how much safety net you actually have. If all those numbers line up favorably, then yes, you may be able to safely take on more risk.
And if they don't, then it's better to acknowledge that and build a strategy around what you can do instead of pushing into risky territory just because you want to.
Tolerance is heart and capacity is math. Both have to work together.
That's a very good point. I like that. How can a financial services professional help someone manage their financial risk, Stephen?
Yeah, as a financial services professional, my role is to help identify where risks reside in your financial life and say, measure how much you can truly afford and build even strategies that protect against the unexpected. So with guidance, discipline, and some perspective, you can ensure risk becomes a tool for growth and not a threat to your future.
Absolutely. And having someone in your back pocket. So, Stephen, can you share with our listeners how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, listeners can always visit my website again at veritywealthgroup.com or call us at 626-650-9486. I'd be glad to discuss how we can answer any questions, and we'll address some of your concerns about managing risks and your financial strategy or any other parts of your retirement.
Absolutely. So far during today's show, we've been looking into the excellent Kiplinger article headlined 10 Strategies for Managing Financial Risk in Market Downturns. We looked into risk tolerance and risk capacity. And don't forget that if you hear something today that you'd like to learn more about, reach out to your financial services professional. And if you aren't currently working with one, the information we're sharing today may be the perfect spark to ignite that important relationship. What do you have for us next, Stephen?
Yeah, let's shift some gears and talk about something called shallow risk. This is the kind of risk people see all the time, the daily ups and the downs of the market. So one stock might rise, another might fall, and it can feel painful. But the key is it's usually temporary.
Right, Stephen. So this is like when I check my retirement account and suddenly I'm down a few $1,000s. It stings, but it doesn't necessarily mean I've lost money long term.
Yeah, that's a great point. Prices can drop sharply and even stay down for a while. But unless you sell, those losses aren't locked in. It's not permanent. The market has historically bounced back and shallow risk is the part of the ride.
But even knowing that, it's hard not to panic. And I get it. I mean, if I see red numbers, my gut reaction is to hit sell, get out.
So that's where preparation can matter. One strategy I encourage is keeping a sufficient cash cushion in your checking or savings accounts. That way, if your portfolio dips, you don't feel forced to sell investments just to cover your day-to-day.
Basically, having some cash on hand keeps you from making emotional decisions when things do get rocky.
So true. Yeah, shallow risk is inevitable if you're invested in liquid securities. But the key isn't avoiding it. It's managing your reaction so you can ride it out by relying on the strategy you've built with your financial services professional. Now, shallow risk is one thing. It's uncomfortable, but usually temporary. What we really have to watch out for is deep risk. That's the kind of loss where your capital is permanently impaired and it's unlikely you'll ever recover.
This isn't just watching your account dip and bounce back. This is the kind of hit that changes your financial picture for good. Right, Stephen?
Exactly. The article explains that financial writer Dr. William Bernstein breaks it down into four categories: inflation, deflation, confiscation, and devastation. Each one represents a different way investors could see lasting damage to their wealth.
Those sound really heavy. Can you walk us through them?
Sure. Let's start with devastation. That's the kind of loss of assets due to something extreme like war. And confiscation refers to losing wealth through government seizure or sudden dramatic increases in taxation. Now, deflation is the prolonged fall in asset values, like what Japan experienced for decades. And then there's inflation, which we're all very familiar with right now, the steady erosion of your purchasing power as the prices climb.
Yeah, and that one hits home with me. Groceries, gas, everything just feels so expensive right now. That's the kind of risk you can't just wait out.
Here's the good news. For many U.S.-based investors, inflation is really the only one we need to worry about in a practical sense. Deflation tends to be countered by Federal Reserve actions, and while no system is perfect, confiscation and devastation are highly unlikely here because of our relative stability.
It seems the real everyday battle is inflation. How do you help clients fight that?
Yeah, one approach is to overweight a diversified portfolio in equities. Historically, stocks have been one of the most reliable ways to outpace inflation over the long term, but doesn't eliminate the problem. But it helps preserve and grow purchasing power so your wealth keeps working for you even when prices rise.
That makes sense to me. Focus on the risk that's most real in daily life and make sure your portfolio is built to keep pace.
That's the goal. Acknowledge the possibilities, but concentrate energy on the risks that truly matter for your future. Another important one to recognize is concentration risk. This happens when too much of your money ends up tied to just a handful of investments.
Does that mean that instead of spreading things out, it's like putting all of your eggs in one basket, right?
That's right. Sometimes this happens unintentionally. For example, people get paid heavily in company stock. Over the years, it can quietly build up until it makes up a huge percentage of their portfolio.
And other times it's a choice, right, Stephen? Like chasing whatever's hot in the market.
Yeah, we see that a lot, right? The next Apple stock or the next NVIDIA. During the long bull market, a lot of investors went all in on tech stocks because the growth just seemed unstoppable. But as the article tells us, when the NASDAQ dropped around 30% over the past year, those who weren't diversified felt a real painful hit.
Ouch. So even though tech had been winning for over a decade, it was still risky to lean into hard in that direction.
Yes, that's why proper diversification does matter. by spreading your money across different industries, asset classes, and even geographic regions, you've kind of minimized the chance that one downturn wipes out too much of your portfolio.
For me, Stephen, that means it's not just about chasing what's hot. It's about making sure your portfolio has balance so you can weather storms in any one area.
That's the big key. Diversification doesn't guarantee profits, but it does reduce volatility and helps protect you from being overly exposed when a single sector or stock takes a nosedive.
Yeah, we could all use that. And Stephen, so far today, we've had a terrific conversations about potential strategies for navigating financial risk during a market downturn. You've given us a lot of food for thought today, but what's next?
So let's keep going with that Kiplinger article that headlined 10 strategies for managing financial risk in market downturns. And next, we're going to address liquidity risk. This is the possibility of not being able to sell your investments at the price you want or even at all when you need to.
So it's more about timing than market swings.
I agree. Some investments like private equity, hedge funds, and even certain types of real estate, even collectibles like artwork, can take months to sell. If an investor suddenly needs cash, they may be stuck waiting or forced to sell at a huge discount.
That sounds like a nightmare. Imagine needing money for an emergency, but all your wealth is tied up in something that you can't unload at all or quickly.
That's the challenge, right? It's not that illiquid investments are bad, because they can be valuable parts of strategy, but they need to be balanced with assets that are easier to access.
So in this case, what does balance look like?
It starts with a solid cash cushion, of course. But beyond that, owning liquid investments like blue chip stocks or high quality bonds provides flexibility. They give you the ability to raise funds without putting yourself in a corner. Another key area to consider is credit risk. This mainly comes into play with bonds. It's the risk that government or company issuing the bond won't be able to make the interest payments or even repay the principal when it's due.
That makes sense. So basically, Stephen, it's like loaning money and hoping the borrower pays you back?
That's what it is. Bonds are essentially IOUs. If you buy a bond, you're lending money to a government or corporation, and you're counting on them to make good on that promise.
But I know some bonds pay more than others. Is that tied to how risky they are?
Yes, lower quality bonds often offer higher returns because they carry a greater chance of default. It's that classic trade-off, higher risk, higher potential reward, right? But you need to be careful because the downside is real.
So how do investors know what they're getting into?
That's where bond ratings come in. Bonds are graded on a scale with AAA representing the lowest risk. On the other hand, bonds rated below BB+ are considered junk bonds. They carry the highest risk of default. So if you invest there, you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared for the possibility of losing that money.
Wow. So Stephen, I guess the lesson is, don't chase yield without understanding the true risk behind it.
Yep. With credit risk, due diligence is everything. Ratings are a great starting point, and making sure your portfolio isn't overloaded with high-risk bonds is crucial for long-term stability. Now, another risk that surprises a lot of people is interest rate risk. We've been seeing a lot of that lately. Mm-hmm. This is the relationship between interest rates and bond prices. They move in opposite directions.
Oh, so when rates go up, bond values go down.
We saw this play out in 2022 when the Federal Reserve raised rates aggressively. The market prices of investment grade bonds, typically considered the safe part of a portfolio, fell by double digits. So for many investors, seeing that portion of their portfolio decline so sharply was unsettling.
Yeah, bonds are supposed to be the calm, steady piece of the puzzle. Seeing them lose value must have thrown people off.
It did. That's why understanding duration is important. Duration is basically a measure of how sensitive a bond is to changes in interest rates. the longer the duration, the more the bond prices will move when rates shift.
What's a strategy to protect against that, Stephen?
So one way is to shorten the duration of your bond holdings. If your bonds mature sooner, they're less affected by interest rate swings. It's like tightening the sail on a windy day. You have more control and it's less exposure to sudden shifts.
That makes sense. Shorter duration means less turbulence when rates change.
Yeah, but it doesn't eliminate the risk. It does make it more manageable, especially in times of rising interest rates. But now let's talk about horizon risk. This comes into play when unexpected life events change your investment time frame.
So you're saying something like a job loss or a health issue could suddenly force you to rethink how long your money has to last.
That's right. Events like disability, death, a major expense, or even losing your job can shift your financial horizon literally overnight. What you thought was a 20-year plan could suddenly become a 5-year plan.
Wow, Stephen, that sounds really stressful because those are situations you can't really plan for in detail or plan at all.
Right. You can't predict them, but you can prepare. For example, proper insurance like life, disability, homeowners, and even umbrella coverage can provide protection for many of those events. If the worst happens, those safeguards can prevent a financial freefall.
But what about something like losing your job? That feels harder to cover with insurance.
Yeah, it is trickier, but that's where having a robust emergency fund comes in. A strong cash reserve buys you time and flexibility. Now you pair that with the willingness to cut expenses and adjust your lifestyle if necessary. Now you've got a plan for staying afloat during those tough times.
Wow. Well, anything else before we close the show today?
Yeah, listeners can always visit my website at veritywealthgroup.com or call us at 626-650-9486 to discuss how we can answer some of your questions and address your concerns about managing financial risks and even go over some of the different parts of your retirement. It is always our goal to help you prepare for the retirement you've worked so hard for.
Well, thank you, Stephen, and what a great episode. This concludes another episode of the Verity Wealth Report with our host, Stephen Ting.
Join us soon for another episode of the Verity Wealth Report. Take care, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you for joining us for Verity Wealth Report. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Stephen Ting at Verity Wealth Group at 626-650-9486 or visit veritywealthgroup.com. Join us again soon for another episode of Verity Wealth Report.
Stephen Ting offers investment advisory services through Gradient Advisors, LLC, Arden Hills, Minnesota, 877-885-0508, and SEC, Registered Investment Advisor. Gradient Advisors, LLC, and its advisors do not render tax, legal, or accounting advice. Verity Wealth Group is not a registered investment advisor and is independent of Gradient Advisors, LLC. Insurance products and services offered through Stephen Ting, independent agent. Verity Wealth Group, Stephen Ting, and Gradient Advisors, LLC are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.